all throughout the scripture, this scripture has always fascinated me the way it went down. And naturally, Kathy, it ain't what I gave you up there, so we'll get to that maybe at some point. Now don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to tell you. Thank you, Jody. I appreciate that, and all everybody. I can only reflect upon my own personal experience and what the Lord's brought me through, and you can do the same thing in your life. But, Brother Hawks, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said something. Saying that we in the church today have a missing link. Again, I wasn't planning on preaching this, but I feel like it's what I'm supposed to do. I have a concern. I have a deep concern. And I've read a lot of this. I've read some of it this week, and I've read things throughout yesterday. I stayed all most of the day. I done a couple of things yesterday, but I knew yesterday that the Lord was dealing with my heart. I knew what I needed to do. If I had a long time, I could take and read a whole lot of different stuff. But I'm just going to just kind of start and see where the Lord leads me through this, because, and again, it's too early in the service to get upset, but let me just say this. With all due respect of how I'm going to say it, you can notice I'm choosing my words wisely. And the reason that I'm going to say this the way I'm going to say it is because I know there's a political agenda. And there's a spirit in the air. And everybody's blaming everybody else. Now here's where I don't want you to get mad at me. It ain't the Democrats' fault. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not Joe Biden's fault. And somebody said, well, yes it is. It's not Trump's fault. Because we're living in a day that was predicted by Paul the Apostle. And again, this is one of those things I'm not going to turn to or go into. But Paul predicted this with Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We're living in those days. Now that's in the book of Timothy. You go back a few pages to the book of Thessalonians, that when Paul wrote to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he wrote this to the believers at that time who were very upset in the respect that they thought they had already missed the coming of the Lord. And Paul begins to explain that in the scripture, and he even explains what we read in 1st Thessalonians chapter 4, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We shout, we rejoice about that, and we believe that is a rapture scripture. But Paul also says that the spirit of the Antichrist has already entered into the world. And you don't have to look far to see that the Antichrist spirit is already in the world. Two different places, and I've got this one written down, but I won't have time to go into it. Two different places. Jude talks about it. Talks about contending for the faith. Jude talks about that, how that the reason that he said contend for the faith is because there was seducing spirits and doctrine of devils sliding in. Peter even talked about that. And Peter warned that you've got to be aware. Hebrews even mentioned it. And Hebrews was my original message today. Now, when this was written, from my understanding, this was not written to a lost society. It was written to the Jewish and the Greek the disciples and those converts that had converted over to become Christians. Now, here's where I feel like that I've got to sort of slide into this real quick. I think there's something missing. And again, it's not a political statement. You want to know what it is? The Bible said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'll tell you what's missing in the church. And if I had to stake my whole entire ministry on this statement this morning, I'd stake my whole entire ministry on it. There is a lack of desire and a lack of hunger for the presence of God. I know for me, and off what I've already said, I can only talk about me. When I begin to look at Israel, and I've read quite a bit about that here recently, just doing the one-year Bible plan. We all should still be over in the Old Testament a little bit and dancing around on that one-year Bible plan. Israel, as Brother Scott said, they got themselves in trouble so many times. They would do good for a while. Then they would begin to complain and murmur. And this ain't in my notes, but let me tell you something. If you're doing more complaining about God and more complaining about the church and more complaining about life than you are anything else, we're missing something. We're missing something. Every time Israel got in trouble, they lost their focus on God. And they would always revert back to their former life. They would always long to be back in Egypt. They murmured against Moses. They murmured against Aaron. I read it this week. And this is one of the things that Doug Small said years ago. He said that humanity at large is worshipers. At large, people want to worship. And it's not whether or not you will worship or not. It's a matter of what will you worship. When Moses was on the mountain, he had went there to Mount Sinai, I think it was, to get the, is that right? He had went there to get the Lord 40 days, 40 nights he was there, and he came back down. There was the noise that came up to Moses, and he heard, and the Lord said, get you up. But the children of Israel, they've already corrupted themselves. They've already lost the presence of God. They've already reverted back to what they were doing before. And the church is always going to be in a movement. The church is a movement. Either we're status, holding our own. Just hold the fort, preacher. Jesus is coming. Just hold the fort. We'll be out of here soon. Hold the fort. Or we're moving forward in our relationship with Him. And there's something within us instinctively to worship. But here's what Doug Small said. It's not a matter of whether you will worship or not. It's a matter of what you worship. And God told Moses, get yourself up, go back down. The children of Israel had already corrupted themselves. And when he went down there, he found them where Aaron had been there, and Aaron yielded right to them. Break off your nose rings, your ear rings, your pickanees. No, not really. Break away all the rings and all that and throw it in the fire. And then he said that Aaron had made them a molten golden calf. And that golden calf represented the God of the Egyptians. Isn't it amazing when we lose the presence of God? People, we talk about people backsliding. And I've often been told that backsliding is not like a blowout normally on a car. It's like a slow leak. You go out one morning and your tire's a little bit low. You don't tend to it. You go out the next morning and it's a little bit lower. You don't tend to it. Before long, you're wondering, well, what in the world's going on with my car? Because something happened and I didn't tend to it, and now I've got a flat. And backsliding is like a slow leak. Little bit here, little bit there. And we just tend to move away from the presence of God, and we move away from the things of God. God told Moses, get up, go down there, put a stop to it. Halt. Went down there, they corrupted himself, he ground it into powder. You know the rest of the story, that he made them drink of their own sins, consequences of their own sins. I think Moses knew something about God's presence. And I said that to say this. I believe the church, and let me say it like this, I believe the church knows God's presence. Don't you? But have we missed God's presence? By that I mean, can we just come to church and do our thing, leave, without ever having a hunger to get into the presence of God? I mean, can we just get so programmed? Can we just get so satisfied? Can we get so comfortable that we no longer have a desire for God's touch on our lives? Moses witnessed everything that had to do with the children of Israel. But something happened. Moses knew, as the prophet of the Lord, to lead the children out of bondage. He knew that he could not go without God's presence. You remember the Galatian church. And I could turn there and read it to you. But when Paul was addressing them, these are the words that Paul used. He called them foolish. He said that you think that you can finish by the flesh what was started by the Spirit. And let me say this. God is wanting to do something in your life that really the flesh cannot explain it. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you. That it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith God. And that is what I'm trying to get to this morning. If we're going to use the terminology, the term revival, revival is not going to come with Michael Ball next week. He's probably got messages prepared that he's going to be preaching. No discredit to Brother Ball at all. But revival is going to happen when you and I get after God. And this one thing. Well, actually a couple of things, but one primary thing. That you want God's presence in your life more than you want anything else. And I say that because based upon the Word of God, when Moses dealt with the children of Israel, God was leading them forward, and God was going to lead them out of the bondage that they were in, out of the fact that he had already threw down the tablets and broke the tablets. God was going to restore the tablets. That's another message for another time. But after the judgment there, and after God had told them, we see that how that God began to deal with Moses. And this is what he said. He called them stiff-necked. I looked at that word this week as I was reading, and I thought, man, they were hard-headed, and they bowed up like a bullfrog, and they would not budge. And God said, you remember when Stephen was preaching the message in the book of Acts chapter 7 along through there? Stephen called, and he gave the history of Israel. And again, he called them stiff-necked. But I also read this week where the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In due time, God will lift you up. So to me, the way up is down. Jesus modeled this. Jesus humbled himself and become obedient even to the death of the cross. In Philippians, you can read that there. That he become obedient even to the death of the cross. And we think about the world today where me, mine, and more. Look out for me. Don't worry about nobody else. as long as I'm in the fast lane and as long as I'm number one and as long as I'm winning, I don't give a flying flip about nobody else. That's the world's attitude. But Jesus, as you read the scripture, the Bible says he riseth up from supper. And Jesus was already burdened over the fact that Gethsemane and everything that was in front of him. And you know the story. I'm not going to take the time to go through that whole thing in John 13 there. But he took a towel and he began to humble himself. And he began to wash the disciples' feet. He modeled humility. There is a difference between meekness and weakness. Meekness is power under control. We cannot, Brother Shore, come to God. Somebody said, well, I'm going to hold God to his word. Well, I thought about that this week. And I'm going to hold God to his word too. But you don't go with an attitude that you're going to stick your finger in God's face and say this, and get an attitude with God, because that's probably not the best way to get your prayer answered. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. In due time, he will exalt you, or he will lift you up. He will encourage you. He will bring you back into his presence. Now, before y'all get too weary, let me move forward fast. And this is really what I wanted to get to. And again, I didn't know I was going to go this route, but I really felt like it was necessary. When the children of Israel had made that molten golden calf, we know that the Bible talks about this and how that the Lord told them that he had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. If you go into Exodus 32 and verse 9, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Look what God says in 10, verse 10, he says, and therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. It's sort of like country boy lingo. God was saying, let me at them. I'll take care of them. God's going to wipe them out, raise up another generation. And then he and Moses begin to have this conversation. And the Lord and Moses had this conversation. And you see this in verse 11. And he says, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Aren't you glad for grace and mercy and power of God and the restoration power of God? Moses must have been a wise man to have that conversation with God. Watch this. And he said, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand. And wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out and slay them in the mountains to consume them from the face of the earth. Now, this is what Moses is saying back to the Lord. He says, turn from their fierce wrath and repent. Not a repent of sin, but change your mind of what he says of the evil against them. And then he says this, remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants to whom swearest by thine own self, and said us unto them, I will multiply your seed of the stars of heaven in this land which I have spoken, or I will give you unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Verse 14. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto this people. Then they went back and they got the Ten Commandments, and the Lord restored the Ten Commandments unto Moses. But before that, there's something that took place. And again, this is the scripture that's always just intrigued me about Moses. Moses seen the hinder part of God. He didn't see him face to face, but he spake to him as a man that would speak to him face to face there at the burning bush. Moses had such an encounter with God that Moses knew that he did not want to lose God's presence. And I said, all of this to bring it and reel it into one thing. That we must not lose God's presence in the church today. And I'll be honest with you. As a pastor, I've been here right at 15 years. And I'm not judging nobody. It's not my place to judge. But if I had to put Thomasville on a meter today, and somewhere put us on a meter and judge our own spirituality today, I think we would come up lacking. If I compared the leadership here and my own life here at this church, but I got good news for you. We may be right here, Brother Tim, or right here, wherever you're at in your own life. And I know everything's not about a run. I know everything's not about a dance. And I know everything's not about a shout. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's nothing wrong with a shout every now and then. There's nothing wrong with it being exuberant in your praise and your worship and going after God with everything that's within your own heart. And there was a time that people would say, well, it's getting out of control, and we don't need all that shouting, and we don't need all that dancing, we don't need all that with that. They used to have that, but we don't need that in the church anymore. I got a mountain word for that. Y'all want it? Baloney. My little sister would say Bologna. Because if it started in the fire, we can't live in the smoke. We can't live on what used to be, what was, what we used to have or what we used to do. And it's not the preacher's fault. It's not necessarily any individual's fault, corporately speaking. But it's going to come when you and when I have a hunger for God's presence. Let me read this scripture that's always intrigued me. When you look at the life of Moses and Moses moving forward after all that event with the golden calf, and Moses heard it all. He was there with the Lord. Moses recognized that his life, he himself would not be able to do what God called him to do without his presence. And I begin to think about the anointing, and I don't have time to talk about that today. But I used to hear the preachers, I used to hear, talk about the anointing. I would hear the pastors years ago and preachers say that if you would just give your heart to God, give your life to God, let God anoint you. Well, I don't have an education. I don't have this or I don't have that. Well, if you'll give yourself to God, God will make, if God can find the heart, God will make up the rest with his anointing. And Moses, in the scripture, we read this out of Exodus chapter 33. It's where God had told Moses to go forward and bring up this people. Lead them into Canaan land. And this is in verse 11 of 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto a friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, then thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And of course we know who it was. It was Joshua and all the other people that went with him. Verse 12, the middle part says, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Wow. God told Moses that. I know you by name. I know who you are. I've got you covered. You may not know the revelation yet. I'm not giving you the full revelation of where you're going. But I've already got it planned for you, Moses. I know who you are. Let me say it like this. God knew Moses' heart. God knew Moses' willingness to do what God had called him to do. God knows your heart today. Does God know your willingness to go after God with everything within you? I mean, and somebody says, you're just a fanatic and you're in the South and you're supposed to be a preacher like that. It's supposed to be that way. I don't care if you're in the North. I don't care if you're West or East. The thing about it is God's Spirit, my friend, the Bible said, will go with us, and the Spirit of God is looking for a people somewhere again in the year that we're living in that God can pour out His Spirit on. I don't have time to go into the book of Acts. I thought about that for tonight, but it probably won't be. I never know what I'm going to preach anymore. I'm just trying. But the thing about it is, God said to His Spirit that if you go back into the Scripture, as in the days of Noah, God's Spirit will not always strive with man. This is my concern, that we're living in that day, and I can't speak for other preachers. I don't know what other preachers are doing. I rarely ever talk to anybody else, rarely ever talk to another preacher. I can't tell you what anybody's doing at another church. I have no clue. I have no idea. But for us, would it not be awesome if we got after God and after God's presence as the Thomasville Church of God? I'm not in competition with anybody else. I'm not in competition with another church on our district. I'm not in the competition with what others are doing. Somebody said one time, I'm in one competition, and that's with the devil, and I'm winning. Come on, somebody. But here's what I want to conclude with. And I believe this is something that the Lord wanted me to do today. When you look in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, this is Moses talking back to God, show me now thy way. What a prayer. Lord, if the Thomasville Church of God has found grace in your sight, Lord, show us now your way. Did I not talk to you about this? Saying, I want what God wants, and that's the only thing I want is what God wants in this church. I think we're at a place that we're going to have to call. This is me. May not be you, but it's me. We're going to have to call back. Let me use the word, the only word that it makes sense. The old-fashioned altar of prayer. And come back to the place that we are pouring our hearts out before God at an altar of prayer until we see things turn around. Don't get mad at the preacher. I've seen some of you pray. You've longed to pray. You've desired to pray. And now, somehow or another, the prayers of the saints have been silenced in the church. And let me just go a little bit further into that. Somebody said, well, I work a job and I can't be at the church and I can't pray. I can't drive all the way over there and I can't this. I understand part of that. But I got only one guy in this room this morning. The best my memory retains and serves me right now, Brother Robert. Brother Cain's passed away. Brother Hardin can't come no more. Raymond can't come no more. There were five of us. Can't remember who else was here. But for years and years and years and years, even when I didn't show up, Raymond would come over here and unlock the door. Brother Cain would come. I've got a video of Brother Cain praying his heart out, sitting right there. Sister Leonard would come sometimes. Others would come. Shelby would come sometimes. But the reason I said that is there was a concern for the church, but there was a longing for His presence. And this whole message this morning is about don't miss His presence. Pastor included. When Moses, this next verse of scripture too, when you look in verse number 14, this is what he says. The Lord said to Moses, and I love this verse of scripture because it was Moses' heart that he was pouring out to God. And he said in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee. Now look what he says in a couple of verses down through here. He says, and I will give you rest. But this is what intrigues me is in verse number 15. 14, God said, my presence shall go with you. But 15, and he said unto him, this is Moses talking back to the Lord. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I wonder why that was there. I thought about that, Brother Johnson. I thought about that, Larry. You know why? Maybe the struggle that was ahead. Maybe the challenges that was ahead. Maybe all the problems that was ahead. But I think it was this, because Moses knew. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry on. He said, well, right here, I'm in your presence. Don't let me move outside of your presence. And I said, all of that to say this, if the church would have that demeanor, if the church would have that spirit, God, whatever happens in my life, wherever I go, whatever I attain, whatever I do, wherever life leads me, God, don't let me go outside of your presence. And he says here in the word, as we begin to look at this in conclusion, and when they had this conversation, verse 16, he says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou preparest with us, or goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and the people, from all the people upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, and thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. And then what he was saying there is, God said, I've heard your prayer. I will answer your prayer. And you don't have to go alone. And you will not have to go without my presence. Wow. And I said, oh God, don't let us go without your presence. And then in this next verse at the end of 17, he said, thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. Now look in verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. We all know that the glory, the kabod, that weightiness, that heaviness, if you will, that from my understanding in the Hebrew word is that is a tangible presence of God. Now again, I may be talking a little old-fashioned here for a minute. But you know and I know there has been times in the church, there's been times in your life. I use term, Brother Brisson, Brother Tim, people use it. I felt the power of God all over me. I felt the presence of God from the top of my head. I felt God on me. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever been there? Does anybody beside the preacher miss that? There's a few of you. I mean, I know that tangible presence of God. I know when God comes down and somebody says, I felt the hair of my head raise up. Well, however God does it. Whatever he does. But again, I said all that to say this. Somebody says it don't take all that. How can you say it don't take God's presence? It takes God's presence. We need God's presence. We need those Holy Ghost moments. We need tongues and interpretation of tongues. We don't need something that's out of order. We don't need somebody that just wants to be seen. We don't need all that placate. We don't need all that. But I do know there's a place in the church for that. And we need that in the church. And somebody says, well, that's old fashioned. That's gone out of date. No, it's not. Sorry, I'm hollering. I don't mean to. I don't mean to. But it's that tangible presence of God that Moses was saying, God, show me your glory. It's like me saying, God, show up. Show up. And here's the craziest thing about all this. We say, we're waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you. So I says, well, God's moved. God ain't moved. God, you've moved. And it all comes because somehow through life and the life and the complicated, as complicated as life is, we have lost the desire to be in the presence of God. And don't get mad at me. We just slip in, slump over, and slide out. Hurry up and get it done. I got somewhere to be, and I've got to get it done right now, because a lot of times people don't even stay for an altar service. Why in the name of God do you think preachers don't give altar services? Because people won't come to altar services. You think, well, you're just getting a little bit out there this morning, aren't you? I'm just telling you how I feel about my experience, what I've witnessed and what I feel. Now, today wasn't that way. No, it wasn't that way. Thank God for all that was done here today. But I'm just trying to say that you've got to want God's presence. You've got to desire God's presence. You've got to want more than what you have right now in your spiritual life. And young people, listen to an old man. You don't just get one touch. You've got to come back and you've got to stay with it. You've got to stay with it. Here's the end as Jody comes today. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim thy name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see my face. And the Lord said, into verse 21, he said, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. That's another message right there. There is a place by me. You have a place by God. This is what God told Moses. You have a place by me. You can get near me. You can get where I am. There's a place by me. Wow. That's what he told Moses. You've got a place by me. And if I had time, I'd preach another hour. I'd take a recess and come back and still come back at 4:30. This is what I feel like God's saying to my heart. Some of you are out of place. In the place in your life that's been reserved for God, you put other things in God's place. And I feel you, Holy Spirit. I mean, this is a personal message today. This is a personal message between you and the Holy Spirit. Because you have to ask yourself, God, what have I put in front of you? What have I put in your place? And I'm talking about your worship. I'm talking about your surrender. I'm talking about your spiritual life. I'm not talking about you going to work in your job. That's not what I'm talking about. Even though a job can become a god to you. That's a whole different part of the subject. But I'm just talking about if you let life, and you're looking at a person today, you're looking at a preacher, you're looking at a dad, you're looking at a husband, you're looking at a man that has his own struggles. And my friend, I have felt the hounds of hell and the demons of hell that's come against me, that's tried to drive a wedge between me and God. I have witnessed that. I have felt that. I have dealt with that. And I've wrestled with that. What's the use, preacher? Just give up. God don't care no more. Just give up. Here's the line of the devil. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through right now. Brother Wes, I don't know how many times I've heard that in my ear from the devil. In those moments like that, all we can do is fall at the feet of God and say, God, I need your mercy. Now, I know I'm going to skip way over for just a minute. I'm gonna jump. Part two. Just kidding. Just kidding. But I am gonna jump for a minute. This man that I read about, I've preached about, and there's a lot of preaching in God's Word. I mentioned him a couple of days ago. His name is David. I mentioned it when I was preaching Psalm 34. I tied it back in together. But this is a man that lost his way. and a man that sinned a great sin, but a man that confessed his sins, a man that recognized his sins, and a man that recognized that God could restore him if he would only come home. Maybe you've sinned a great sin. Maybe you've just blundered up your life absolutely, totally, and you think that God's given up on you, and you feel out that God's a million miles away from you. That's the enemy telling you that God don't love you. It's the enemy telling you that you'll never be able to have your life back. You'll never be able to have your life restored. David sinned a grievous sin with Bathsheba. Here's the thing that I believe was one of the most difficult things in David's life. Is David lost his connection with God. And David lost what he knew at one time he had. And you know what it was, Brother Larry? God's presence. Because there cannot be two gods living in your house. Sweet water and bitter water can't come out of the same fountain. Hello. Fresh water and salt water can't come out of the same fountain. David, in this Psalm 51, we see this where David prayed this prayer in verse number 10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And then he uses the word renew a right spirit within me. Let me get my heart right with you again, God. Renew a right spirit. Give me a right spirit. I want my spirit to be right with you. Isn't it amazing how we can get a bad spirit going on? David said, I know if I'm going to get your presence back, I've got to have a right spirit about me. Look at this next verse. He says in verse number 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from thy spirit or your presence. And take not your Holy Spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. And then David said, I will teach transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. But David said there in verse number 11, cast me not away from thy presence. Would you stand with me? This is going to be very personal today. This is not just for the elderly. This is not just for the middle-aged. But it's for everybody in this room, our young people, our teenagers. Because I was a teenager one time, and I said to myself, when I get to be a big boy, I'm going to go to church. And eventually that caught up with me. And I did what I told God I would do. But young people today, I know it's difficult to grasp everything that I said today. I know that's difficult. I understand that. But you can tell Jesus you love him. You can say, Lord, I love you. You say, well, I don't even know what that means. I've never had that experience. Well, that's another message for another time. But the Bible says that God is love. We've done that Wednesday night. And if you've never experienced the love of God, today's a great day for that to happen. And don't stand there and say, I don't need the love of God. I don't need nobody to love me, because that is nothing but the devil today. Because everybody needs love. I don't care who they are. Let me reel it in right here for a minute. If you're here today and you feel like that you have drifted outside of God's presence, God just laid this on my heart today for you. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and you're just pondering about your own life. Lord, where did I leave your presence? Where did I go wrong? Where did my life get so complicated that I allowed my life to be filled with so many other things but you? Lord, I come home today, create in me a clean heart. Renew my spirit today. do a new work in my life. Let God fix everything that's broken. Let God do a brand new restart, a jump start over your life today. David's prayer was, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit. God, take not your presence. Moses said, Lord, I'll go, but I will not go if your presence don't go with me. And the Lord promised Moses he wouldn't go alone. So, Father, you've heard our cry today. You've heard the word. And, Lord, this is what I felt like you've put into my spirit. God, that we do not miss your presence. Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you touch this church? Lord, I tried not to be rude. I tried not to be cynical. I've tried not to be any way that would bring shame to your name. But God, I do feel like that I needed to challenge us. God, to get after you and to get after your presence, Lord. And Father, I feel like that repentance is necessary today. I feel like that repentance is necessary, God, in not only the congregation, but in my own life. Lord, for being lazy, for allowing other things to take my focus off of you. And God, as David prayed, would you renew a right spirit within me? Would you renew a right spirit in this church today, God? My God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would sweep in this place right now. That God, that you would do a work in every heart and every life. Lord, that we would hunger, that we would thirst, God, that we would get after you with everything that's within us. God, it's not a style, it's not a certain mode, it's not a certain song or a certain fabric, it's none of those things. But it's desperate people getting after God with all of our heart and saying, God, we don't want to miss you. We don't want to miss your presence. And God, would you come down from to the youngest to the oldest? And God, would you again, as David cried, take not your Holy Spirit from us. And God, would you fill us with your Spirit? Would you fill us with your anointing? Would you fill us, God, again with your presence? God, would you pour out the new wine? Would you pour out your Spirit, God? Would you breathe upon your congregation? Would you breathe, God, upon your people today? Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. God, there's those that may not know you in this room and those that's grown cold. God, would you rekindle the fire? God, when they walked into the Solomon's temple, when they dedicated the temple, that the ministers fell upon their faces in the presence of God. They could not even stand because of your presence. And they bowed themselves before you. Because of your awesome holiness and righteousness. So, Father God, I pray that the glory of God would once again fill the temple. Not just the physical space, but our spiritual space in our own lives. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, no one looking around. If you could contest today and say, Pastor, this message was for me. I need to get back into God's presence. Would you just slip your hand up quickly, put it back down? Those of you that's around this room that's raising your hand. Father God, I pray that every hand that was raised, that God, that you would give them a double portion of your glory. And some of us, God, that was not able to raise our hands, I pray, God, you continue to bless these people abundantly because they've got all of you that they need and all of you that they want. And bless them, God, and help them. But God, for the rest of us that are desperate, I pray, God, that the desperation that, God, I feel in my heart today, God, would spread like a wildfire in this room. That, God, that we cannot function without you. We cannot sing a song without you. We can't teach a class without you. We can't sign a check without you. God, we can't stand before people without you. God, that we need you in all that we do, God. That your presence, God, would saturate this place. Lord, I pray this. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be lifted up. Because Jesus Christ said in his word, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And God, we lift up Jesus today. We lift up the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ in this room, because the name of Jesus Christ is the only name that is worthy to be praised. Lord, we lift up Jesus. We glorify Jesus. And we pray to Jesus today that Jesus is the only spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God. He's not an it. He's not just God with a little g. He's not just a name. He's not just a byword. But He is the spotless Lamb of God. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. That in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So we speak today in this room the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, the spotless Son of God, who is our soon coming King. And Lord, we lift up Him today. And we ask You all of these things through and by His precious name. And all the people of God said, amen. I have done my best today to obey God. I have done my best to share what God burned in my heart. Don't take this lightly and casual. But blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Renew your love for Him. Renew your relationship with Him. And if your tire's flat today, let the Holy Spirit breathe on you again and put some air back into your sail. Go home in Jesus' name. 4:30 choir practice.